Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's Up the Poshcast, by the fans, for the fans. Today, we've got Lods, Max, Dell, Charlie, and of course, me, Harry, back for another episode of your favourite Peterborough United podcast. Today, we're going to be covering the pre-season game, which at time of us recording was last night against AFC Wimbledon, the future of Harrison Burrows, who would be a good new club captain, assuming that Mr. Burrows leaves the building. And finally, a bit from Max and Charlie, who like to keep their ears to the ground on other clubs in League One and how they've strengthened relative to Posh so far and possibly what we need to do to keep up with some of them. Max, did you keep up with the preseason game last night?
I did to an extent. The first half I did. The second half I didn't. I was travelling back home from Cornwall, so I didn't keep up with the second half. The first half I was able to. Look, it's hard to keep up and like visualize things when the live tweets were so few and far between. So it's quite difficult for me to put it into my head. But I read them, and by the sounds of things, I think the main goal, as Darren Ferguson said before the game, was fitness. You know, he didn't care about the result, just wants minutes in the tank. And to see that style of play sort of come to fruition with some of the new signings. And I think we did that perfectly. I mean, Darren McAnthony said after the game that we dominated the ball. It was a very different side to Darren Ferguson. You know, we dominated the ball. It's a very different style of play from the opposite team. So I think actually, we got everything we wanted out of the first preseason game.
Yeah, and obviously we had Ashley out there, you know, our Up the Poshcast representative on Spanish shores. And I know that he, for one, was really, really impressed with George Nevitt. I mean, I'm not going to read out some of the claims he put on the group chat because that would feel quite unfair with him not here to defend them. But he definitely said that he felt that George Nevitt was, if he carried on like he did last night in terms of his composure on the ball, was in line to start on the first day. And I know I said in the last podcast that I didn't think he was, and that I thought he was just coming here to sort of develop and then he'll be in the team in a year's time. But maybe I was wrong. Maybe Nevitt is the one to lead us forward. And last night's friendly was maybe the first step in proving that.
You know what? What I sort of what I read between the lines, because obviously I didn't watch it, I didn't go. I wanted to go, a bit disappointed that I didn't. But in a way, I'm not disappointed because on a training pitch, you can go and watch anyone run a corner. But anyway, from what I heard is some of the newer players actually outshone the old school, if that makes sense. Our man on the ground, Ash, he gave us a bit of not a running commentary, but he gave us a bit of a scoreline of who played well, who didn't. And it seemed like the new boys done better. What also sounded quite repetitive was all the possession in the world, but again, we still couldn't put the ball in the back of the net with our so-called Mother Seal and Ricky J. Jones. So, you know, something to work on. Are we getting a new number nine? Are we going to get somebody up front who's actually going to learn how to put them in the back of the net? Who knows? But yeah, so I'm not going to rule out anything. New boys have got to fit in, and we'll see where we go in the when's the next friendly? Tuesday night at Spalding, not Stamford Bridge, at Spalding.
One thing I liked from Ashley's commentary was that O'Brien Brady played well, because we talk about the new boys coming in, but there's plenty of young players coming through the academy as well. Done the little thing on Harley Mills, on DOB, sounds like he played a bit deeper than everyone expected and played well. I mean, Ash said that he was one of the best players out there. I don't know if anyone remembers his first ever interview on Posh Plus. Sounds like a very grounded lad. I remember him, he'd just come through the door having done his trial, naming every member of staff who'd helped him at Peterborough on the way to him getting his youth contract, and just gave me a lot of confidence that he's right, you know, up there, got the right mentality for it. And with any luck, that will lead him to cracking on into the first team.
I did find it interesting. Dara, after the game, did an interview, didn't he? And he said that he might save him some few pounds. Presumably, he wants to have him as his fourth midfielder. But I would have assumed the fourth midfielder would have been a replacement for Fuchs. I've never seen a Brian Brady play, so I wouldn't be able to tell you what he's good at and what he's not good at. So somebody might give a better answer than me. But I don't see him as that kind of midfielder. Whether we want to replace Fuchs' skill set or just have an extra option in midfield, I don't know what Fergie's planning.
I'm a big fan of Brian Brady. I'm a massive fan. I think I was surprised as well when he was playing deeper. Because I thought he would play in that 10 role. But I think I agree with Lods in the fact that the fourth midfielder should have been a replacement for Fuchs. However, I think that Brian Brady could be a really good use to this first team depth. And whether or not you know we trust our young guns. If we don't have to go out and spend money on a midfielder when we've got a perfectly good one sat in the back garden doing nothing. Like I don't see why we'd waste money on strengthening an area there when we've got Con Clark, Hector, Collins to Haviland. You know, we've got these midfielders. I don't think there's a need to go and strengthen just to replace one person's skill set. I think O'Brien Brady could fill that pocket just fine.
Nice one. Well, one person who none of us expected to be in the lineup if we kept up with what the club told us was Harrison Burrows. Heavily linked with Sheffield United. Time that we're recording this podcast sounds like Sheffield United are either walking away from the deal or at least putting it on hold, something to do with their takeover. I guess there's a couple of questions about this. Maybe one for you, Charlie. What do you think about Burrows in terms of the potential for him to stay? Would you keep him if it meant that he went for free next year? And also separately, do you think he's going to go anyway, even if Sheffield United falls through?
I think he has to go this summer. I think pretty much every Posh fan had made their peace with the fact that Harrison Burrows, after the season he had last year, with a year left on his contract, was going to leave the club this summer. And I mean, we've already got his replacement in the building. You know, we have two left backs now, you know, Rio Adebisi, who looks like a really good player, looks like one we've really chased after and has cost us, you know, if the fees are correct online, you know, £500,000, which is not a small amount of money to spend on a left back at League One level. And so I think he has to go this summer. I mean, if he goes on a free, obviously, I don't know, would we get tribunal for him because he's an academy player potentially? But if he goes on a free or goes for a tribunal fee, which will be less than the money we would have got for him this summer, I think we'll be kicking ourselves. One, because we've already got enough left backs in the building. And two, because it really is his time, I feel. So yeah, I think I'd be disappointed if Burrows is still here at the end of this summer transfer window.
I think I've got to echo that, to be fair. I think it's time to go. Enjoyed last season, started last season. You know, let's be fair, he started off pretty shit, but then he actually, you know, ended up being obviously player of the season for the league, etc. But we've all accepted time to move on. Go. All the best, and then fuck off, move on. You know, so we haven't got that sort of hanging over our shoulders. Is he staying? Is he going? You know, season starts in, was it 25 days? I think I saw. We need to know where we are. You know, the young lad that's coming in as left back, is he going to be playing? Is he not? He's got to get himself into the mindset, I'm going to be starting. Because at the moment, it's like, am I? Am I not? So, yeah, I think we need to wrap something up, whether it's with Birmingham, whoever it's with. Good luck to him. Appreciate what he's done. As I said, see ya.
Obviously, Ferguson's been quite vocal as to where he wants us to finish this season. The top two was what he said, an automatic promotion spot. I would rather let him go on a free next year than sell him to a promotion rival. If that means selling, you know, Birmingham, Rotherham, Huddersfield, Bolton. I'd rather we just let him walk on a free next year than sell him. He is such a good player at this level, and he's proven that despite the fact that he's not a left back. He was shoehorned to play there, and he's done a phenomenal job this season with the season that he's had. But I would rather let him walk on a free if that's our goal, a top two spot. I don't see a point in selling him to a promotion rival and having potentially hoist that team's ability up and allow them to win the league, get a top two spot in place of us if Rio Abdesessi isn't as good as we think he is, which I'm not ruling that out, but it would be a massive loss, especially to a promotion rival.
You know, I wasn't sure where I landed on this, and I think I'm halfway between the two of you. I'm happy for Burrows to go this year if it's not to a League One club. I think it would really be tough to see him in a way that it isn't as tough for Johnson Clark-Harris. It would be tough to see Burrows, an academy player who is still young in the prime of his, it probably hasn't anywhere close to peak yet, banging one in against us at St Andrews. So yeah, I'm happy for him to go this year, but I wouldn't want to see him in our league. And if he stays, I'm more than happy with him staying. I'm pretty sure Charlie's right that we would get a fee for him. It would obviously wouldn't be millions. It would be a few hundred K next summer. But yeah, imagine if we win promotion with him. That's probably a lot better than a couple of million and not going up because he scored against us or he's done so well for Birmingham and they finished second and we finished third, which wouldn't surprise me if that's how things land. Yeah. What do you think, lads?
I think even if it means Birmingham have to be the ones that throw up the cash, we cannot reject a £5 million bid. So if that's what we're asking for and there's clubs that want to pay it, no matter who it is, just let him go. Because take out of the equation the fact that he's a posh fan and he's been with the club since he was eight. £5 million for a League One fullback. It's just, I don't think that's ever happened before, has it? Never.
Don't know. Need some statos on that one. Right, obviously, if Burrows does leave, and to be honest, even if he doesn't, likely to see a change in the captaincy because we want somebody who's, no chance of them leaving in January. We don't want the same situation we have with Chiosso. By the sounds of it, it was Kyprianou in the first half yesterday and Collins in the second half as captain. Del, you got any? You've had fairly strong thoughts in the past about who you think should be captain at any given interval. What are your thoughts? Who do you give the armband to next year?
I would either go with either the two that was captain last night, Kyprianou. I don't know, it's just something about him, and I think he's got a little bit more something about him. Obviously, playing for his national team. I know it's only was it Greece, but he's still playing with the national team.
You've annoyed the whole of Turkey there, Dale.
Yeah, do you know what? That's how much I give a fuck about internationals apart from England. I don't care. But you know, he plays for his national team. So he's got some like big names around him and he's been in that environment. So I think he would have got a bit of experience from that. Now if you look around our squad at the moment at Posh, 80 miles, if you look around Posh, we've got they're all youngsters. There's nobody with that big, do you know what I mean, personality at the moment. And I'd go with Kyprianou, whatever his name is.
I quite like that. Cyprus and Kyprianou there. Kyprianou.
Yeah, you see what I've done there.
I personally think Steer is the best option for captaincy just because of the clear experience he's had playing at bigger clubs and the massive age gap between him and the rest of the squad. And I was quite surprised that Collins got the armband in the second half over Steer. Steer played second half last night as well, didn't he? I was quite surprised that Collins was the one that came out as captain. It makes me think that maybe Fergie's considering one of the two between Kyprianou and Collins, or that the new captain isn't in the door yet. We might be still looking to sign some experience.
I agree with Lods. I think Jed Steer should be the captain next season. My original choice, my original choice would have been Knight, but unfortunately he's gone. I would have loved him to be our captain this year, but you can't say no to a club of that stature. So I understand why he left and that's fine. But I think I'm really a fan of having a captain in that back line. I think it's the most important part of communication in a squad, is that back four in front of him. I don't think we've got a vocal centre-back at the minute. I don't think Manny Fernandez is very vocal. Neither is Nevitt. And they are clearly are too. That's the partnership that we're exploring at the minute. You know, the size of Manny Fernandez and the ball-playing ability of Nevitt. But I don't think there'll be some sort of like communication barrier. You know, there's not going to be someone who's going to yell at them. I think Jed Steer would have that back line in control. And I think that's why he makes a perfect captain, because he would be able to get the plays up front, you know, motivated with his speaking. He spoke very well on all the videos, but also be that central figure in that back line. And I think having the captain's armband will just make them listen more. You know, you listen to your captain. I think that's what they'll do. They'll listen to, Jed Steer more. And I think that's key, especially when playing at the back in the style of football we want to play.
I would have agreed with you until it became obvious from this Euros that they're creating this new rule where you can't surround the ref and only the captain can speak with the referee. And for that reason, I would eliminate all goalkeepers from the captaincy conversation. Otherwise, I completely agree with you that Jed's the best person for the job. I'm going with, we need to sign a centre-back who is vocal and who can be the one to partner, at this point, most likely Nevitt. Who knows, we could get another person through the door as well. That person can be out on the field. And yeah, the rule, just to be clear, I guess I wasn't, is that if the players surround the referee, or if another player who gets involved in a altercation where the referee is talking to the aggrieved fouled player and the fouler, if that person wasn't involved, yellow card straight away, except for if it's the captain. The captain is allowed to speak to the referee and understand their decision. That person, for that reason, we can't have Jed continuously coming out of his goal and speaking to the referee. It needs to be an on-field person.
To be fair, I've done a refs course recently with an EFL referee, someone who refs in League One and League Two. And I think what he said to me about sort of this captain thing and the goalkeeper is the captain is, apparently at the toss they're asked, they can nominate an outfield player to sort of do the role of captain in these discussions. So, you know, even if Jed Steer was the one wearing the captain's armband, it could be, he could say, you know, oh, Kyprianou, if you have any grievances with my players, you know, Kyprianou's the one I want you to speak to. So I don't think sort of the sort of nuance and technicality around officiating is the issue. I do have an issue with Jed Steer being captain. I think it should be Kyprianou. But I think that's sort of been bit by the by. I think that if we're saying it shouldn't be Jed Steer just based off of this technicality around the refereeing, I'm sure that's something that could 100% be worked around.
Okay, I would never have a goalkeeper as captain. I've never agreed with it. It's just something that, I don't know, just grates me. I think a captain should be either a centre-back or a midfielder. You know, what you said there a minute ago, but he could shout at the back line or hold me in place. That's fine. You can do that as a goalkeeper anyway. But I've never, ever liked a goalkeeper being a captain. I just don't think it works. And I also don't think a captain should be a centre-forward either. They're too far away from the middle and the back. The goalkeeper's too far away from the middle and the front. So captain, in my opinion, should be a centre-back or even a full-back and a centre midfield. That's my take on it. And I will refuse to be changed.
I do agree with that. I don't think a goalkeeper and a striker necessarily makes the best captain. But what is the actual role of a captain? Because you see some clubs now have an on-pitch captain and a dressing room captain. Maybe Steer is the one with the experience that can keep control of the squad in the dressing room and do all the motivational speeches and sorting out all the admin, because I think they do all the family and friends match tickets, don't they? But if Steer could nominate someone on the pitch to speak to the referee, like Charlie was saying before, then why not just have a different on-pitch captain and maybe that can be Kyprianou instead?
Yeah, I mean, I think the role of a captain is sort of to be the player that the fans can... I think it is sort of something for the fans as well, you know? If the team put in an absolutely stinking performance, you'd expect the captain to be the one to come out and do the interview and apologise to the fans. I think the captain... on the pitch, the role of the captain is a lot of motivation, a lot of getting people around them to focus. You know, if you look at, you know, when players are losing their heads a little bit, it's the captain's job to go over and tell them to calm down, you know, tell them what they need to hear in that very moment. I think the captain is in charge of managing the team on the pitch, because obviously you've got the coaches who set them up before the game and they'll get little instructions on, but actually in terms of sort of the mood of the game, keeping the players motivated, keeping the players in check, I think the captain has a massive role in that. And that's why I think I agree with Dell that a goalkeeper so far away from the play cannot do that role successfully enough. And I think it's a bit of a waste of the captain's armband. The goalkeeper's going to lead anyway, because he's going to organise his defensive walls. He's going to be telling the defenders to push up and come back. He's going to be very vocal, one of the most vocal players anyway. But I think having him so isolated from the action isn't necessarily the best idea for a captain.
All right, nice mix of opinions. It'll be interesting to see who I actually lands with, because I think between Cipriano and Collins are the two favourites at the minute, but we really have no idea, do we? And whoever gets it, let's hopefully they can do just as good a job as Chiesa and Burrows have done. And actually, thinking about it, this could be a good one for the fans. You know, anyone listening to this, you pick up this podcast through Twitter or even any other platform where you can leave a comment, ask us, or rather let us know, I should say, who do you think should be the captain of Peterborough United for the 24-25 season? Moving on, we have two very analytical, thoughtful, engaged in the league people in our podcast, Max and Charlie. Interested to know your thoughts, gents, on how other teams have done so far in terms of recruitment and compared to where you might have thought teams were at the beginning of the summer. Who's done well with their signings? Who's fallen away by either making bad signings or not making enough? And where does any of that leave Peterborough, and whether Posh need to sign anyone else to catch up with some people? Max, I think I'll come to you first, mate.
Yes, is the answer in short. I think we are in desperation for some competitive, some more signings. I think once we shift some of the players we want to shift, Burrows is obviously the big one. He'll take I presume will take a lot of money off our wage bill and then give us some money. We'll have some money then, especially if Tony goes and whatnot. Look, I know that we've got debt and stuff and whatever, but I do think that we could definitely dip it back into the transfer market and pick up some positions, especially a goal scoring striker. I'll just start with Rotherham, because I really thought Rotherham would come down and be mid-table. They signed, obviously, Steve Evans at the end of last season. And I thought that would really be it. Their team in the Championship was absolutely woeful. I know a lot of the good players wouldn't stay. However, I think after this window, I think they've got 11 or 12 through the door. And some of the signings that they've made, you know, they've got Reece James from Sheffield from Sheffield Wednesday. They've got Raggett and Rafferty. You know, that's a league winning defence. Two of a league winning defence last season, and that's just a start. And it gets better when you go up the pitch. And they've signed some good players up the pitch as well, which is massive. So I really thought that Rotherham would finish the table, but actually, I think they'll be up there pushing for, you know, winning the league or even a top half playoff place. So I think Rotherham's signings are really good. And to compete with them, we definitely need to go back into the market.
Yeah, I mean, I'll touch on sort of the big one. Whenever someone mentions our competition, this team is always the first one to come out, Birmingham City, because they've got, I mean, incredible amounts of money that they are able to spend this summer transfer window. The reported sort of budget for them has been marked up at between 15 and 20 million, which, you know, is incredible. They've sold 15,000 season tickets. Everyone's seen over the last sort of years the plans for that club. It's a very, very ambitious football club now. They want to be in the Premier League soon. And they've made some really good signings this summer. I think Alfie Mays, the immediate one, where we think, you know, he was at Charlton. He's just a goal scorer in League One. No matter which club he's played for, whether it was Cheltenham, whether it was Charlton last season, if you give him free run of an attack of a defensive line in League One, he's going to cause massive problems. He's so tricky to play against. He's one of the ones that I think are Birmingham sort of headline signings. But they haven't gone out and splashed a crazy amount of cash on a player yet. I mean, I know they've been linked with Burrows, that would be one of the most ambitious transfers from a League One club in a very long time if they were able to get that over the line. But I just think Birmingham are definitely going to be up there. You know, they may have already won the league, to be fair. Like, when you look at the squad they've had, they've not lost many players. You know, they've still even got like Jordan James at the club, who is supposedly worth around £10 million. They are going to be so tough to face. They're going to have a really loud home atmosphere next season because their fans are all back on board with the Birmingham City project. Yeah, Birmingham are definitely one of the teams that I look at and think we're going to have to spend another £2-3 million to even be on their level to try and start competing with them.
Just to echo Charlie's point, obviously we've talked about two of the teams that have come down from the Championship with big budgets. We always knew Birmingham was going to have an absolutely massive budget. That was always going to happen when they came down. I don't necessarily think we need to spend that much. I think our style of play, it's more important to, you know, we could get, if there's players for cheap from lower leagues that can do what we want, I think we stick to our transfer model. Obviously, I'd love an ambitious signing, you know, if the money comes in, we go in and go and grab someone. Just finally from me, I think transfer wise, and it's a surprising one, I actually think Burton Albion are going to have the best window this season by far. They've already got 15 through the door, and they've lost players as well. They've lost Joe Powell, which was one of their best players last season by a mile. And he went to Rotherham. So he's gone to a League One contender. And when he went, I really thought, you know, maybe this is it for Burton now. You know, they were on my prediction almost rock bottom. But the signings that they've made some really, really promising. They've signed Dylan Williams and Charlie Webster, both from Chelsea. One on a free, one on a loan. So I think that's really good to get you through the door. They've signed Danilo Orsi from Crawley, which he is unreal. I mean, I went to the playoff final and watched him play. He was unreal. So I think that's an amazing transfer at this level. And they've just done some great ones despite their outgoings. You know, I think a lot of the players that left probably thought they'd be in a relegation scrap, and I don't think they are going to be. I really, really do think that they're probably going to be up there. I think just touching on Crawley before I shut up, I think Crawley Town, I don't know what's going on. I thought at the beginning that they tried to stay up and they'd fail. I think they've waved the white flag before the season's even started. I mean, they've sold all of their best players. I mean, every single one. Orsi was the main one. I think they sold Liam Kelly as well. So they've lost a lot of their best players. And they don't seem to be signing anyone. I don't know if they've come up to the league, tried to get as much money as they can, and then just let them get relegated and hope the parachute payments keep them afloat. I really don't understand what the thought process is. But we'll have to see where Crawley Town finish. But I think it's rock bottom at the moment. But that's it from transfers from me.
And just last thing, because I want to put your flag on the mast. Where are Burton finishing? Are they breaking the top six or not? You said up there.
It's hard to say because I haven't seen them. But I'm not going to sit on the fence until I think with the signings they've made and the manager that they've got, I don't see a world where they can't compete for a playoff position. I think this league is very difficult, so I think they'll just miss out. Very similar to how Blackpool did last season. I think they'll just miss out. Eighth-ish, I think, is a good sort of prediction. But I don't see why they can't compete, and they could blow us all out the water when we get there. So I'll say eighth for now, but that could go up after pre-season.
Charlie, you said Birmingham are so far ahead of us in the transfer market. There were £2-3 million for us to catch up. Last week, you said that we were going to win the league. Do you think our tactics are going to be that good that we can outplay them?
I mean, I think, first of all, I don't see us spending, you know, £2-3 million for the rest of this transfer window as like massively unrealistic. We've already spent £1.5 million allegedly on players. I think that, listen, we need to bring in a centre-half. We need to bring in another centre-half. We need to bring in a right-back. We need to bring in a midfielder, and then we'll see. We may be a little bit light in a few other areas as well. But I just think, Birmingham City, I've always said this about the big clubs in League One. As much as, you know, I was speaking purely from a transfer perspective there, but if you think about the pressure on Birmingham City to win the league and walk the league, or at least get, at the very least, get automatic promotion next season, we do not experience that kind of pressure, I don't think, at least nowhere near on the scale that Birmingham City do. I always felt it with clubs like Derby, and especially Bolton has really got to them in the since they've dropped down the levels. I just think we are always going to be the underdog against teams like Birmingham City and teams like even against Rotherham, you know, with the money and the crowds they get. I just think it may be that the pressure that that Birmingham City experience will force them to cave in, and we may be there to just nick in at the last minute and steal their supposed League One adventure.
I think Dell is trying to speak, but he's on mute. Well, half an hour in without a technical hit.
this is why you don't let Dell use technology.
Charlie, I think the one thing that was of interest, and Dell, speak up whenever you're back on, is the idea that we're going to spend 2 to 3 million more this transfer window. I mean, you've got to think that we've got some big sales going out the door to be able to fund that, right?
I mean, when you think about it, we had the Ephraim Mason-Clark cash from January, which was rumoured to be 4.15 million, I think, was the fee that was confirmed. And that was, Dara said, delayed all into payments this summer. So even though Coventry bought him for 4.15 million in January, we didn't actually get access to that money until the summer transfer window. So that's one sort of revenue stream that we're going to be able to buy from. Then you look at sort of Ronnie is 1.5 million. If we sell Burrows, that's another, you know, I think £3 to 4 million in the bank. If we then sell Ricky J. Jones, which we're alleged to, that's going to be another seven-figure fee, I'd assume. So I do think we've got some serious money coming in. And then that's not even considering, you know, the bonuses that we may get with sell-ons on people like Ivan Toney and Sammy Smodix. I think we are going to be in a really good place financially this summer, and that an extra 2 million expenditure is not completely unrealistic.
Well, I'll just jump in there. Obviously, I've been quite quiet, not because my mic was broken, it's because I have no idea who we've actually signed, let alone what other teams have signed. So, you know, it's quite interesting listening to you youth of the group to give me a bit of insight. So thank you very much for that. I've got nothing else to comment because I don't even know what to say. So back over to you, Harry.
Nice one. And that, you know what? In a way, that's the way to do it. Show up on the terrace, see who's wearing the colours of Peterborough United and support them no matter what. I think we're there, gents. It's been a good podcast. Who is going to be at some of the upcoming pre-season games? We've still got all of them apart from the Wimbledon game that's just gone at the time that we're doing this podcast.
I'm going to Spalding. That's this Tuesday. I don't know if I'm going to any others, but I'm definitely looking forward to that.
I'll be going to all of them. I've already got my tickets for who are we going? Colchester. I'm taking my little nephew, picking him up from Ipswich. My brother-in-law, who's a Man United fan, has just purchased himself a Peterborough United shirt, so that'll be quite good. So one converted. My little nephew is proper. He's only two. He is so looking forward to it. So we'll go with that one. Go with the others. Who we got? Boston, Stamford, Spalding. On the Notts County at home, the two games are 60 minutes, is it? Is it 60 minutes?
Or 90. Full 90s.
Is it full 90s?
Two times 90 minutes, yeah.
Fair play. Only a tenner. Do you know what? Fair play. I think that's, you know, you can't grumble a tenner for two games. So, yeah, I think, I'm looking forward to it. Shame we don't get any big teams like we used to in the old days. Remember, we had Man United come down, Liverpool, etc., bringing some big players when we see Ronaldo and Rooney play on the pitch. Not that, obviously, they're going to play now, but it would be nice to play some big teams at home again. But hey-ho, let's move on. So, yeah, I'm going to all of them.
I'm I don't know how many I'll get to, but I'm hoping I'll also get to all of them before I go back to university over in Derby, and getting to games becomes slightly more tricky. So I'm hoping to get to as many as I can. I did 36 last season at uni, so I'm hoping to beat that and do more than what I did last season. That'd be really cool. But as far as pre-season, Charlie and I are off to Spalding, and then I presume we'll arrange for Colchester, perhaps an excursion. But I'm looking forward to all the pre-season games, and seeing the team as well develop is always a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to them all.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I'm just suffering some serious Peterborough United withdrawal. I mean, I actually can't. I hate the off-season. It's terrible, a terrible idea. I thought maybe the Euros would cure it and I wouldn't be missing Posh as much because we've got the Euros football. But no, I miss it. I just want to get back and just go to a Peterborough game, see my mates at a football ground, you know, all of that. I'm just buzzing for pre-season to start. So, yeah, we'll be there at Spalding on Tuesday. Me and Max will find our merry little way there. And then we'll take it as it goes. You know, the usual suspects, Stamford is always a decent one. A nice little setup, I think, at Stamford. And then obviously Colchester won't be too bad. Bit of a nightmare to get to, but we'll find a way. And then Notts County. And then before we know it, the season will be back underway again. So yeah, I'm excited for pre-season. I think it's always a good time. It's always exciting to see the new signings, and hopefully there'll be even more new signings from this point onwards. And yeah, I just want my football club back.
Absolutely. To everyone listening, thank you. We've been Up the Poshcast by the fans, for the fans. We're on every Monday, unless we tell you otherwise. All the best. Up the Posh.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like us to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Posh.
Up the Posh. Devs Up the Posh didn't come out there, did it?
No. I didn't want to risk doing mine. No, what?
Just end it with Harry's there. Don't put anybody else's in, because there was a pause after Harry's. Just leave it at that one.